Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of comedy. Later on, we'll hear Fibber McGee and Company from 1939, but right now it's an episode of Blue Ribbon Town with Groucho Marx, his main radio series Until You Bet Your Life hit the airwaves. Special guest on the program next is Jack Benny in a CBS broadcast from February 26th, 1944.
Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer presents Blue Ribbon Town, starring Groucho Marx with his special guest, Jack Benny.
Come on down, down to Blue Ribbon Town, where you'll down your daily care.
With Jack Benny visiting us, there's plenty of excitement in Blue Ribbon Town tonight. Ready and eager to greet their famous guests are Faye McKenzie, Bill Days, Leo Gorcey, Robert Don Brewster and his Blue Ribbon Blenders, yours truly, Ken Niles, and the leading citizen of Blue Ribbon Town, our happy host of hilarious hijinks, Groucho Marx.
Gosh, Faye, this is certainly a red-letter day in Blue Ribbon Town with Jack Benny coming to visit us.
Certainly is, Bill.
Say, Groucho, you never did tell us what your visit to Jack Benny last Sunday was like.
I had a wonderful time, and his rates weren't too high either.
Oh, Mr. Marx, you don't really mean that Jack Benny charged you.
I don't know, Bill, but that was the first time I ever sat in a rocking chair with a meter on it. But I must say, the dinner Jack prepared was very nice. He had a beautiful golden brown turkey on the table.
Say, that was very generous of Jack.
Yes, it was. A very unusual turkey, too.
What do you mean?
It was the first turkey I ever ate made out of grape nut flakes.
Was the stuffing good?
Yes, it was, if you like more grape nut flakes.
Well, did you meet Phil Harris? I think he's awfully cute.
Yes, he is. Cute and ignorant. You should have heard what he told me when I asked him if he liked the songs of Rimsky-Korsakov.
Why? What'd he say?
He thought they were a great team and wanted to know which one did the lyrics, Rimsky or Korsakov. And when I asked him about Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite, he wanted to know what hotel it was in. Everybody knows it's the ambassador.
Hey, Mussy. Is our extinguished guest here yet?
Well, well, everybody's entitled to one mistake, and here's Mother Nature's Leo Gorcey.
Hey, Moxie, I just heard you talking about Phil Harris. You know, he's an old schoolmate of mine. Gee, I ain't seen Phil since we was in the fifth grade together.
You ain't?
No, just think. 2 whole years has fled by. Say, Moxie, did you enjoy yourself at Jack Benny's house last Sunday?
Yes, I did, Gorcey, but I'm always glad to be back here in Blue Ribbon Town with my own happy little family.
You're right, Groucho. We are one happy little family. I like you so much, Groucho.
And I like you, Faye.
And I like you, too, Mr. Marx.
And I like you, Bill.
And, Moxie, I like you likewise.
And, Gorcey, I like you lengthwise. But really, kids, I am fond of you. Ah, my happy little family. I feel like taking you all in my arms. You, Bill, and you, Gorcey, and you, Faye. Hey, Bill, why don't you and Gorcey get out and make more room for Faye?
You want to know something, Marcy? The way we feels about you is never more oblivious than last Sunday when you was away. I really missed you. Ah, Marcy, I looked upon you as my brother, my cousin, as my uncle, even as my father.
Stop, Gorcey. Stop. I'm beginning to feel like one man's family. Well, enough of this. I have to get ready for Benny's arrival. Oh, by the way, there's something important I have to tell you all.
What is it, Groucho?
Jack Benny's main reason for coming up here is to get a complete vacation. He's mentally worn out from doing his radio show for so long.
I can understand that. Jack Benny's certainly been on the air a long time, hasn't he?
He certainly has. Why, Benny's been on the air so long, he can remember when John wasn't even married to his first wife. I don't want you to mention a single word about radio to Jack Benny or to do anything that will even remind him of radio. You see, Benny has radioitis.
Oh, I get it. You mean he's allergic, huh?
Allergic, huh? Gorcey, I bet you don't even know what allergic means.
Hey, certainly I do. Benny's allergic to radio like I'm allergic to jail.
Allergic to jail? I don't quite see the connection.
Well, every time I'm in jail, I break out. See you later, Marcy.
Well, Faye, while Gorsy's breaking out of jail, why don't you break in the song?
I'd love to, Ken. I'll sing Suddenly It's Spring from the Paramount picture, Lady in the Dark. Why is my heart dancing? Imagine dancing. You look at me and suddenly it's spring. Why do I keep sighing? Not sad, just dying. I'm young and free and suddenly it's spring. High on a hilltop, love is calling. Someone should wish me happy falling. No more being lonely. Can I be lonely? You look at me and suddenly it's spring.
High on the hilltop, my true love is calling. Someone should wish me happy, happy falling.
No more being lonely, can I be lonely? You look at me and suddenly.
Groucho, I'd like you to meet a man.
There goes Niles again, bringing another Pap's happy poet. Who is it this time, Niles?
Well, this is Simon the Swami. He's a crystal gazer and a very jovial person.
A jovial crystal gazer, eh?
Yes. How does he strike you?
I don't know how he strikes me, but I'd sure like to strike him.
You would? Why?
I've always wanted to strike a happy medium.
Silence! I'm Simon the Swami. My marvelous crystal can tell you if Mama is packing a pistol and whether the step you are planning to take will land on a pillow or poison a snake. But these days I work gazing carefully through our gun sights for errors. I find very few. And during my leisure, I comfortably peer into crystal clear glasses of blue ribbon beer.
Yes, all over America, when people sit down for an hour or two of comfortable leisure, they always seem to call for a glass of mellow, delicious Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Since 1844, we've brewed and sold some of the world's finest beers. And today's Pabst Blue Ribbon is the finest of all. Pabst, you know, is full flavor blended from 33 fine brews. And there's a whole century of brewing skill and knowledge in every delicious drop. Order it with confidence. Serve it with pride. For no matter where you go, there is no finer beer, no finer blend than Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Well, I'm glad the kids all left. I want Jack Benny to feel like he's really going to get a rest from radio. Oh, there's Benny now pulling out in a taxi cab. I'll open the door for him.
But driver, 35 cents. Can't be over 7 miles from here to the station. Well, all right.
Oh.
Hello, Groucho.
Well, if it isn't Jack Benny, the last of the Waukegans. Come on, Jack, come into my house, relax, and make yourself comfortable.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And, Jack, I want you to know that I told everybody in town that you're here for a rest and that they're not to mention anything about radio to you.
Thanks again, Groucho. I appreciate that. You know, Groucho, to me, you're just a friend. I've never regarded you as a radio comedian.
Don't look now, Jack, but you just lost a friend. Well, now that you're here, you may as well start relaxing. Just sit back in that easy chair there, and I'll get you a little snack I've prepared over there on the table.
Oh, good. I could eat a little something.
Here you are, a bowl of your favorite grape nut flakes.
Well, gee, thanks, Groucho. Wait a minute. You're supposed to pour cream over them, not Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
You take care of your sponsor, and I'll take care of mine.
Hey, Groucho, this is swell. It's the first time in years I've been able to have 2 minutes to myself without someone talking shop.
Jack, the word radio isn't ever going to be mentioned around here. Say, how about some music? I'll turn on the,
Yes?
How'd you like to listen to the vacuum cleaner? Maybe I can pick up Stardust.
No, I'd rather just sit here and take it easy and talk about other things than, you know what.
Suits me.
Well, what would you like to talk about, Groucho?
Oh, anything you'd like to talk about, Jack.
Well, I'd like to talk about anything you'd like to talk about, Groucho.
Well, that settles it. We'll talk about women. Say, how are you and Gladys Abisko? Are you still that way about each other?
Gladys?
Yeah.
No, we've, shall we say, fifth? Pardon me, I didn't mean to serve it.
Well, that's too bad, Jack. Oh, by the way, Gladys was a waitress, wasn't she?
Yeah. Gosh, I'm really broken up about it.
You really liked her, eh, Jack?
Yeah, I loved her. Gee, she was cute. Used to get a lot of tips, too.
Well, that is true love. Oh, well, that's enough about women. Say, there's a great trout stream near here, Jack. How about you and me doing a little fishing?
No, I just want to relax.
No fishing?
No fishing.
All right, then let's talk about women again. Say, Jack, remember that little dance that we both went for when we were in Vaudeville? What was her name again?
You mean Lena Hackenbush?
Yeah, little Lena. Remember little Lena Hackenbush?
Yeah. I also remember that nasty trick you played just because she liked me better than you.
What do you mean?
Well, Lena always went for athletic men, and what she admired most about me was my flat, trim waistline. So you try to convince her that I wore a girdle.
Not true. I never said you wore a girdle.
No, you never said it, but every time I was out alone with her, you'd sneak up from behind and snap me.
Well, enough of reminiscing, Jack. How about going for a little walk and really seeing Blue Ribbon Town?
No, Groucho. I just want to sit here and relax.
No walking?
No walking.
Well, back to women again. Say, by the way, Jack, I have a picture of you and Lena Hackenbush upstairs that was taken 20 years ago.
Gosh, Groucho, 20 years ago. Would you get it for me?
Gladly, Jack.
Say, is that the one where Lena's running her fingers through my hair?
That's the one.
Gee, I'd love to see Lena again.
And I bet you'd love to see
your hair again.
Well, I'll get the picture and be right back.
Well, Mr. Benny.
Yes, young man.
Mr. Benny, I'm Bill Days, one of Mr. Marks's happy Blue Ribbon Town family.
Glad to know you, kid. What's on your mind?
I sing.
Well, that's nice. When Groucho comes down, you can sing for him.
But I don't want to sing for Groucho. I want to sing for you, Mr. Benny.
Sing for me? What for?
Well, gosh, after you hear me, I know you're going to want me on your program.
Look, kid, I came here to forget radio. Didn't Mr. Marks tell you not to bother me?
Yes, but, gee, I couldn't help it. Being on your show gives a person so much prestige.
Look, kid, You really think it does?
Yes, I do. Gosh, Mr. Benny, you're just about the best there is in your field.
Am I? Would you mind saying that a little louder, Bud?
Louder? Why?
Fred Allen doesn't hear as good as he used to.
Yes,
getting
Mr.
older,
Benny.
You know.
Yes, Mr. Benny, you're absolutely top. The greatest there has ever been. You just don't realize it.
Oh, I do, too. Well, go ahead, kid. Sing. I don't mind. Go on. Smart kid. Got good taste, too, this kid. Really has.
I used to be bewildered. Now I know why I go walking round in a wonderful glow. Far away from the usual road. my wildest dream that I'd fall quite so wholeheartedly. Now I know love is all that it's cracked up to be.
Well, do I get to be on your show, Mr. Benny?
Well, gosh, kid, I don't know. You're a tenor.
But what's wrong with that? Don't you always have tenors? Kenny Baker, Dennis Day?
Yes, and I never fail to have trouble with them about money. And then, kid, with tenors, you always have mother trouble. So tenors just seem to have mothers. I can't imagine why.
But, gee, don't you think having a mother is pretty true of most people?
Yes, I suppose so. But with tenors, somehow it's worse. Tenors have mothers who look like fathers. Besides, I already have a contract with Dennis Day, an extremely fine tenor, so you can see nothing, absolutely nothing, could make me change my mind.
But for such an opportunity, Mr. Benny, I'd even be willing to work for nothing.
Please, kid, I'm not... I wonder if Dennis's mother would slug me if I broke his contract. Kid, you say you'd be willing to work for nothing?
Well, practically, I'd be willing to accept $40 a week.
$40 a week? Who do you think you are, Lawrence Tibbett? Why, Dennis only gets $35 now. He thinks he gets $186,000, you know. On the other hand, if you'd be willing to work for...
Hold on there, Benny. A fine thing, a guest in my house trying to steal my tenor. There's nothing lower than a man who'd steal a tenor. Unless it's a man who'd steal a bass. I wouldn't have said that, Benny, except that the baseball season's just about to start. And have to give me that line about not talking shop.
But Groucho, I didn't approach him. He approached me.
That's right, Mr. Marks. I'm sorry, but I couldn't resist the opportunity to get on his show. Do you realize that being with Jack Benny automatically means being a great success?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, it's true. Name one person on Jack Benny's show who hasn't become a famous man.
All right. Mary Livingston. Now, run along, and let's not hear any more of this.
Well, well, Jack Benny, I'm certainly glad to see you.
Glad to see you, Ken Niles.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Benny, I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time. Yes, sir, you need an announcer like me on your show.
You too, Niles?
Oh, quiet, Groucho. I'm talking to a radio star. You know, Jack, Don Wilson's not laughing like he used to. That booming quality, that wonderful chuckle, those real honest-to-goodness guffaws, he just doesn't have it anymore.
He doesn't?
No. Now, just try me out. I'll throw you a feed line for an old joke. Any old joke.
The way he throws himself at the man is degrading.
Let's see. Say, Jack, who's that lady I saw you with last night?
Oh, well, all right. That was no lady, Ken. That was my wife.
Isn't that wonderful? That's marvelous, isn't it?
Isn't it revolting?
Well, what do you say, Mr. Benny? Am I better than Don Wilson?
Well, I don't know. Wilson is fatter than you. He has more to laugh with.
Well, I admit Don Wilson's a lot fatter than I am, but name one thing he can do that I can't do.
Well, Wilson can take a shower without getting his feet wet. Niles, you don't want to really leave me, do you? I thought we were one big happy family here.
Yeah, but this is Jack Benny, the Jack Benny.
So I'm Groucho Marx, the Groucho Marx. So what?
That's what I say, so what?
I know how you feel, son. Sometimes I even try to forget I'm Jack Benny.
Yes, but it's such a thrill when he remembers.
But, Mr. Benny,
There must be a joke in here for me someplace.
You want me to help you look, Jack?
Hello, Groucho. Groucho.
Hello, Fay. I'd like
you
to meet...
Oh, you don't have to introduce him. Anybody'd know this is Jack Benny.
Oh, I guess I am rather easy to recognize.
Oh, yes, I've seen you in pictures, and I could tell it was you by your kind eyes, your strong, manly jaw, your big, brawny arms rippling with muscles.
Would you mind saying that a little softer, please?
Softer? Why?
My draft board is listening in.
Oh, but Mr. Benny, you do have such a nice physique. Such a trim, fit waistline.
Well, I... Groucho Marx, you snapped me again.
There's never a shortage of rubber around Benny.
You know, you're quite attractive, Miss McKenzie.
Oh, thanks, but don't call me Miss McKenzie. You can call me Faisy.
I can?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you can call me Jaxy Pooh.
And you can call me when my stomach returns to normal.
You know,
it'll be
Faisy,
in about 3 months.
You know, Faisy, now that I've met you, I'm going to hate leaving Blue Ribbon Town. Too bad you don't live in Hollywood. We could see more of each other.
Well, Jaxy Pooh, I'd love to live in Hollywood if I thought I could find a job there.
Well, Faisy Pooh, I'm a rather important man in Hollywood. I could probably line up some sort of a position for you.
Oh, Pooh, how wonderful. I know I'll be very happy working on your show.
Pooh? Was that Pooh or Pew? P-O-O. Well, Miss McKenzie, I did not offer you a job on my show. I came here to forget my show.
Oh, but Jaxy Pooh, how can you forget your show? A great comedian like you. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you're the grand old man of radio.
Don't let my gray hair fool you. I'm just breaking it in for a silver fox. Fay, I'm really not old. It's just that I began my career so young, 30 years ago. Well, I was just a knee pan.
Yes, and he looked awfully funny. A grown man of 25 running around a knee pan. Running around a knee pansy poo. Excuse me while I answer the phone. Jack, excuse me while I answer the phone.
That never happens on my show.
Everything happens on our show. Hello? No, goodbye.
Who was that, Groucho?
It was the wrong number. That's never happened on any other show before either.
Hiya, Marty. Hiya, Mr. B. Say, I've been listening to your programs lots of times, and I think it's great.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed, Mr. G, but I don't care to discuss.
There's one thing wrong, howsoever. That guy, Phil Harris, detracts from the refinement and culture of the program.
You really think so?
There ain't a participle of a doubt. And believe me, the lack of culture is a terrible curse that should be visited on no man.
You're absolutely right, Gossy Pooh. So please stop visiting me.
Not only is Phil Harris ignorant, but he also has a terrible vocal bury. The guy knows nothing about nothing, especially grammar. Not only can't he conjugate conjugation, but he can't even subjunct subjunction. Boy, what a soliloquy. See, what you should do, Benny, is get someone to take Harris's place. Someone who's got class, refinement, and education. In other words, me.
That's more than I had on the whole program.
Well, I'll tell you, Jack, after listening to you,
Gorsy, Phil Harris sounds like Anthony Eden.
Well, I know my speech ain't so hot, but my writing is very audible. Believe it or not, Benny, I'll see you later.
Some happy family I've got, Jack. Everybody has tried to leave me for your radio show.
Yes, in fact, Rochester's was the only job that nobody wanted.
Yeah, some happy family, all right. What loyalty? They don't even know the meaning of the word. Loyalty, faith. Semper Fidelis, it's discouraging.
Oh, come, Groucho. Chin up. Carry on.
No, Jack. Without the loyalty, without the faith of those one holds dear, life becomes nothing but a hollow mockery, a sham. A mere existence, hardly worth continuing.
I wouldn't try so hard, Groucho. It's too late for the Academy Award, you know?
He just had scars that never felt a wound.
Oh, I know you're hurt, Groucho, but after all...
You're a good friend, Jack, but don't try to soften the blow. I'm disappointed in my so-called friend. Wanted to leave me to go with your show. It hurts, Jack. It hurts here. Now it hurts there, too.
There, Groucho, don't take it so hard.
I can't help it, Jack. There's only one thing left for me to do now.
What's that?
Mr. Benny, how about you all letting me take Rochester's place?
Well, Groucho, it's time for me to leave. I want to thank you for your hospitality.
It was nice having you, Jack. Thanks for coming down. You must visit me again sometime.
I'll be glad. By the way, who's your guest next week?
Everett Horton. He's having trouble with his income tax, and he wants me to help him figure it out.
Groucho, I didn't know you were good at that sort of thing. Do you even know how to fill out those income tax forms?
Oh, yes. In fact, I helped Dorothy Lamour with her income tax last year, and you know how well her form is filled out.
Well, good night, Groucho. Now, wait a minute, fellas. Get this very clever line they gave me to end the program with. Oh, this will be a scream. Wait till you hear this. Good night, Groucho. I'll be listening next week.
I suppose you think mine is any better, huh? Listen to the one they gave me. So long, Jack Benny. Thanks again. Good night, neighbors.
Remember, if you want the real lowdown on how to laugh off your income tax, don't forget to listen to Groucho Marx telling Everett Horton all about it next Saturday. All the rest of our regulars will be on hand, so join in the fun and come on down. This program is directed by Dick Mack and is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Peoria, Illinois. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Blue Ribbon Town, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 26th, 1944. Groucho Marx ribbed a bit by Jack Benny for being a radio comedian in that broadcast. Groucho was actually a special guest on Jack's program the week before, on February 20th, and in that same year made many guest appearances on other programs, notably for the Armed Forces radio shows Mail Call and Command Performance, entertaining the troops overseas. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Fibber McGee and Company. The title might sound a bit strange if you were a fan of the Fibber McGee and Molly show, but for about an 18-month stretch, Molly, or Marion Jordan, had taken ill, and during her recovery, the show continued. So we'll hear Jim Jordan next, along with series regulars Bill Thompson, Arthur Q. Bryan, and spokesman Harlow Wilcox. This episode called Going Bald, from March 21st, 1939, on NBC.
Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Company, with Jim Jordan as Fibber, Donald Novis as himself, the Four Notes as the quartet, Zazu Pitts as our special guest, and Billy Mills Orchestra, as they open the show with Life Begins When You're in Love. Equinox is here, and the air is full of clean-up, paint-up, dress-up, Easter parade enthusiasm. So, in the spirit of general refurbishing, our hero is getting his spring haircut. And here, waiting his turn in the Wistful Vista tonsorial parlors, we find Fibber Goldilocks McGee.
Thank you. You're next, sir.
Okay, Bob. Give me a haircut.
Yes, sir. Shall I go right ahead, or do you want an estimate first?
Well, I did get it. Let it get a little long at that. I guess my hair grows fast because I got such a fertile brain. You're a new barber here, ain't you?
Yes, sir. I used to have a shop in the South Seas. At Waikiki.
Oh, a beachcomber.
No, just a Hawaiian clipper. Yes. Oh, your hair's getting a little thin on top, isn't it?
Oh, it ain't never no such a thing. There ain't a man in my whole family that ever went bald.
Linen service. Anything today, Frank?
Oh, yes. 2 dozen towels, 6 aprons, 10 bars of soap, and another carton of bear's grease dressing.
How are you fixed for conversation?
No, I guess not today. I still got 18 minutes of the European situation, 7 minutes of who win the pennant, and 4 minutes of will Roosevelt run for a third term.
How about 5 or 6 minutes of the weather ain't what it was when you were a kid?
No, thanks, not today.
Okay.
Hey, what is this? 6 minutes of who'll win the pennant and weather and all stuff like that there.
We barbers subscribe to a conversation service. Every day they supply us with 15 or 20 minutes of monologue with a few jokes. Enough to last one haircut and a shave. Hold still, you.
Yeah, I will.
Take plenty off the top, bud.
What do you mean, plenty off the top? I'm just a barber, not a magician. You had plenty off the top when you came in here.
Well, you mean you really think I'm losing my hair? Why, shucks, I ain't a...
Hold there, Frank! How long do I have to wait for a shampoo? I got a heavy day tonight and I want to smell good. Oh, hello there, Johnny. What you doing, getting a fitting for a toupee?
No, I ain't. I'm getting a little tired of being told I'm getting bald.
Hey!
I says, no, I ain't getting measured for a toupee. I don't need one. And even if I did, this is no climate for a convertible top.
Johnny, but that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to the other feller, say, I'm getting fed up on this war talk. I've heard nothing but Europe all through March. Well, says t'other feller, you're lucky you live over here. You don't have to hear them march all through Europe. Cure too, Frank. And if you hear bells ringing tonight, it ain't the curfew. That's me kicking the gong around.
There, Bud, goes a gentleman of the old school. He's still a sophomore.
Very good.
You about through with this haircut, Bud?
Yes, sir, all through. Now, how's it look, sir?
Hey, you took a little too much off in front there.
Why, I didn't touch the front. There wasn't any hair there.
What? You... Say, kitten aside, you really think I'm getting bald?
Well, I wouldn't say you were getting bald exactly, but I bet your comb and brush lay there on the dresser and wonder how they can get on relief. That'll be 90 cents, please.
What, 90 cents for a haircut?
Yes, sir. 75 for the haircut and 15 for a tip. Thank you.
90 cents. That guy's running the wrong kind of a clip joint. I wonder if I am losing my hair.
Hello there, Pepper. What are you looking so worried about?
Oh, the barber just told me I was getting bald, Bill. You think I am, Billy?
Well, frankly, I do, Pepper. I was telling Don Novus yesterday that your face looked a lot lower than it used to.
Oh, yeah? Oh, how about you? That shiny dome of yours that aroused an awful maternal feeling in an ostrich. I think my hair's getting thin, eh, Billy?
Gee, I hope I don't get as bald as you. Oh, it doesn't bother me, Fibber. It's a sign of mental activity. There's no grass on a racetrack, you know.
Oh, yeah. Your scalp certainly got the runaround, didn't it? By the way, Don, take a look at my hair.
All right.
You see anything to give you a shock?
I certainly do.
Uh-huh.
You got a haircut.
No. You think I'm beginning to lose my hair?
Well, I was just talking to Billy about that, and I said that people with wavy hair weren't so apt to get bald.
And what'd he say?
He said your hair was waving all right, waving goodbye. Well, see you later, Baldy.
Baldy, if I can't get a little decent respect around here, I don't...
Whoa, there! Whoa! Oh. Hey, buddy. Buddy, are you Fibber McGee?
You betcha, bud. Where'd you get all the horses?
I just drove them in from Washington, D.C. Your congressman sent them to you.
Hey, wait a minute. There's some mistake. Why is my congressman sending me a herd of horses?
He said you wrote him a letter and asked him to send you as a bunch of steeds.
I didn't say steeds. I says seeds.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I'll give the congressman credit for trying anyway. Well, I guess I better go look up some scalp specialist. Oh, hi, Mrs. Uppington.
Oh, my, how do you do, Mr. McGee? Oh, delightful spring weather, isn't it, really?
Oh, yes.
Do you know that I actually saw a robin this morning?
No.
Yes, a dear little robin red bosom.
Little robin red bosom, dear.
Oh, Mr. McGee, I'm afraid you lack all appreciation for the beautiful springtime with the birds and the bees and the wildflowers. Oh, if I only knew the language of the flowers so I could greet each tiny green bud high up in the trees.
Well, I can do that, Uppy.
Oh, how, Mr. McGee?
Hi, bud.
Mr. McGee, must you be so cynical, really? Can't you be more poetic?
No, I can't, Uppy. I just had bad news. I'm losing my hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, yes, you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
You poor boy.
Me too.
What do you suppose is the cause?
Worry, I guess.
Well, what are you worried about?
About losing my hair. I'll see you later, Uppy. I got to look up a scalp specialist.
Oh, well, try to be more cheerful, Mr. McGee. Remember, it is spring. A spring, a spring, a spring. It makes me feel so good. Oh, yes, really.
Is that what that is?
You know, I should like to go out in the early morn and dance among the dewdrops like a dainty little fawn.
Some fawn, eh, folks?
Oh, I know. You think I'm just being a silly girl. Well, it's so nice to have seen you again, Mr. McGee. Goodbye.
Goodbye. She cares about me going bald. Springtime. Blah.
Say, Doc.
Huh?
Excuse me. But did I hear you say yous was getting bald?
Yes, you did, bud. Why? You a scalp specialist?
No, I'm a tattoo artist. Now, how about me tattooing a little sentiment on your bald spot? Kind of an epitaph, kind of.
You mean hair today and gone tomorrow? Something like that there?
Yeah. But how about I tried 100 tonics, but I couldn't save my hair. Now my head is just like heaven, because there's no parting there.
No, thanks. No, thanks, bud. I guess not. I may look like a pinhead, but I don't want to be engraved.
Okay. Just an idea, that's all.
Tonic might not be a bad idea at that. Wonder what's a good remedy. Oh, hi, Harpo.
Hello there, Fibber. I just... Say, you're getting bald, aren't you?
You think I am?
Well, I sure do. When I walked up behind you just now, I could see you were frowning before you even turned around.
So, hey, how do you keep your hair so healthy looking, Harpo?
Well, I guess I owe it all to my mother. When I was a little boy, she used to spend whole mornings and afternoons just brushing my hair. Brush, brush, brush. Right down to the roots.
Just working her fingers to the bone, eh? How did she ever have time to do her housework? Grab it, Harpo.
Why, she had plenty of time for her housework because she used Johnson's self-polishing glow coat.
Ain't he wonderful, folks? So you owe it all to your mother, eh, Harpo?
Yes, I do, Fibber. I remember I used to say to her, say, Mommy.
Hey, wait a minute. Take that lollipop out of your mouth.
Well, I'd say, Mommy, why don't you ever talk about how tired you are? And why don't you have rough, scrubby hands like the other little boys' mamas?
Shrewd little tyke, wasn't you?
And then Mommy would take me on her knee, and that's how she always had time to brush my hair. Oh, we were great pals.
Well, a mother's best friend is her boy, they tell me. Have you told her she better rush out and grab off some of them money-saving special giant-sized cans before they're all gone?
Oh, don't worry. She knows all about that. She also knows that you get a pint and a third for the price of a pint. Well, I gotta be going, Fibber. And say, try not to worry too much about that baldness. We all knew it would happen.
Yes, I know. Huh? You did?
Why, sure. Everybody said you were bound to come out on top. Well, so long, pal.
Very helpful. Oh, here's a scalp specialist right here. Dr. Harry Storer. Well, I'll try him. Hi, sis. Can I see the doctor?
Dear me. I don't know why not, mister. He's 5'11".
Yes, it's her again, folks. Miss Zazu Pitt. Well, tell the doc I'd like to see him, will you, sis?
You better just sit down a while, mister. Doctor's busy in his laboratory right now.
Oh, he is, eh? What's he working on? Trying to develop a skeleton key for a scalp lock?
No, he's experimenting on wiring a toupee for sound. He wants to to see if a cowlick can moo. My, you're getting pretty bald, aren't you, mister?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, sis. I hope the doc can do something about it. You a registered nurse?
Well, I'm a nurse. But dear me, even though there's dozens of men in here every day, I don't seem to have registered yet.
Oh, don't worry, sis. As the Bureau of Identification says to the burglar, someday your prince will come.
Wow.
You like nursing?
Oh, yes, I certainly do. I always said if I went into nursing, I'd want to reach the highest place in my profession. And here I am, assistant to a scout doctor.
But how come you choose this particular branch of the profession?
Oh, you know how it is with a young girl. We just get such romantic ideas.
You expect to find romance in here?
Well, it narrows the field, mister. Very few women get bald.
I suspect you won't find no dream man, sis, unless you're looking for one that's thick in the middle and thin on top.
Oh, we don't have to be built to specifications, mister. I'll just take one out of stock.
Well, just the same, the guys you're liable to meet in this office will no doubt be middle-aged, fat, and gray-haired.
Yes, I know. But any man who gets to middle age and is still fat is probably pretty prosperous. And if he has gray hair, it was probably caused by worry. And there's only two things men worry about, women and money. And if he has any money and still wants to worry about a woman, well, I guess I know my duty, mister.
Well, you seem to have the situation
well. Hello, doctor. Here's Mr. McGee to see you.
Oh, yes, that's fine. Did you take his history, nurse?
No, but I gave him quite a bit of mine.
Yes. By the way, nurse, I'm a little puzzled about that Frangle case. Can't quite diagnose it. He says he wakes up in the morning with dimples all over his scalp.
Oh, I can diagnose that, Doc. Tell him to quit using the outdoor sleeping porch during the woodpecker season.
I see you're suffering from alopecia areata yourself.
Yeah, who? You think you can do something for me, Doc? I ain't hopeless, am I?
Not with my system, my boy. We can grow hair on a football helmet.
Uh-huh.
Let me see now. I think your case calls for Formula 27. It's an old Indian remedy for baldness.
Oh, well, that's my chief worry.
Yes, here we are. Take this tonic home with you, McGee, and these tweezers.
Tweezers? What's them for?
This tonic is so efficient, it grows eyebrows on the bottle. Use it liberally, but only on the scalp, remember.
Yeah?
One of my patients, a radio actor, spilled some in his bathroom the other day with tragic results.
Oh, what'd he do, grow a mustache on the washbowl?
No, he spilled a few drops in the bathtub, and now I'm afraid he's definitely typed as an actor.
Oh, how so come, Doc?
Well, you understand, when I say he's now playing the part of a polar bear on a certain Sunday evening program.
Well, much obliged, Doc. I'll run right home and apply some of this stuff.
The sooner the better. Good day.
Good day, Doc. And goodbye to you, sis. I'll see you again when I come back to report on the treatment.
Well, I'll be here, mister, sitting here and dreaming my dreams about living in a beautiful penthouse with a man I love.
Well, and who is the man you love, sis?
Any man who has a beautiful penthouse. Goodbye, mister.
I love the foothills way beyond the plain. They love to echo our lone refrain. I'm so happy on the prairie all the day. Company, yeah, only got sunny old hills singing along with me. Oh, I'm happy, yeah, happy, and it's there I long to stay.
Singing lay, oh, lay.
Yeah, lay, oh, lay. And the funny old hills sing back and say, lay, lay, oh, lay, lay, oh, lay, lay, oh, lay, from far away. ¶¶
was the four notes singing the funny old hills. And that was nice timing, too, kids, because I got back in the house just before you finished. Did you ever notice the construction of this show, folks? How we weave the music through the drama? Dad, Rabbit, who's that? I want to get busy and try this hair restorer. Come in.
Oh, hello there, Fisher.
Oh, hi, Nick.
Fisher, what is this I'm hearing about your hair doing a strips tease on your cleaning, Mom? Or am I labeling under a Miss Apple dumpling?
No, that's right, Nick. I never noticed it myself till everybody started telling me. I thought it was okay, but you know how it is. Appearances are deceiving.
There is certainly more of a truth than a poultry in that, Fisher. It is like little stories I'm reading last night.
Uh-oh. Well, tell me some other time, Nick. I'm kind of anxious to try this hair tonic.
Well, sir, it was being one of the funniest little nanny goats.
Anecdotes.
I stand connected. One of the cutest little stories I'm ever reading, which the name of it is being called Freddy Nan the Cow.
That was the bull.
Who cares? I liked it anyway. Well, sir, this little Ferdinand was a pretty little Spanish boy cow, and there was nothing he would not rather do than something else than sit down and sniffle at a bunch of flowers, such as chrysanthemums, tiger lulus, garbunias, and nasty thirsts for something.
Yes, I know, Dick. He didn't run and play like the other little bulls. It worried his mother, too, didn't it?
Sure. A little bit. But if he wanted to sit and make his nose gay with a flower, it was perfectly bouquet with her, I'm thinking. Well, sir, one summer's day, there is coming to the farm a bunch of squeegees who are being talent scouts for a bullfight. You grab me?
I'm familiar with the story, Nick, so don't...
And just as they are signing up a couple of the bulls for the World Series bullfights, little Ferdinand is trying to smell the flowers and is sitting down on a bumble buzz, which is stinging him right on the conclusion of his story.
You mean right on the end of his tail?
Have it my way, Fisher. Anyway, he is so painful with his sting that he is acting like a very ferocious puss animal, and they are picking him out to fight at duels with a famous cuspidor.
Toreador. There's toreadors, matadors, and picadors.
Sure. Pick a door and walk, don't run to the nearest exits. I know that. Well, sir, Fisher, what is happening on the days of the fights will make your hair stand on its hind feet. They're bringing Ferdinand out, and he is standing there swishing his tail. Swish, swish.
I know. Then he refused to fight. He just sat down and smelled the flowers that the women threw into the bull ring.
Sure, and everybody is being very disgusted about the whole thing. The toreadors is tearing his hair, the matadors is wondering what is the matter, and the picadors is picking Ferdinand up and throwing him out on his rump roll. But Ferdinand don't care. He is very happy at going home again, where he can have his smell time swelling the flowers again. And the moral of the story is being, don't beef if somebody is giving you a bum steer. Well, so long, Peter.
Thank goodness now I can go to work on this hair tonic. Whew. Certainly smells terrible. Maybe the theory is to smoke them hidden hairs out into the open. Well, here she goes. Wow. That's strong. Gee, I can feel it working all right. One more dose now. Now then. Now for a look in the mirror. Oh. Well, I'll be... Well, can you imagine? Why, that dirty... Well, what happened to it? Where did it go? Give me that telephone. Hello, operator? Oh, is that you, Mert? I haven't got time to kid around today, Mert. Give me Doc Storer. Yeah. Fine doctor. He ought to be... Oh, hello. Dr. Storer?
Yes?
Dr. Harry Storer?
Yes, yes. What is it, please?
Well, this is Fibber McGee, remember?
Oh, yes.
Say, what kind of tonic was that you sold me anyway?
Why, what happened?
Why, I look like I've been scalped.
Well, I told you it was an old Indian remedy.
Oh, sure. Well, folks, it was nice to have Zazu Pitts with us again, but as for that scalp, doctor...
Hello, Fisher. Can I have my present now?
Your present? What present?
You know, that little bottle that you're saying on it to Nick.
To Nick. Oh, that wasn't to Nick.
That was tonic.
Oh, for scream's sake, excuse me, I'll to pieces.
Okay. Good night, folks.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. The selection, Funny Old Hill, is from Paris Honeymoon. Fibber McGee and Company were presented from Hollywood's Radio City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber McGee and Company, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 21st, 1939 on NBC, bringing to a close this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.